Good afternoon, members. The Congressional Redistricting Subcommittee will come to order. Sam, please call the roll.
Chair Saroy.
Here.
Vice Chair Tuck.
Here.
Ranking Member Skidmore.
Here.
Representatives Beltran, Benjamin.
Present.
Brown.
Here.
Fabricio.
Here.
Fetterhoff.
Here.
Fisher. Fisher. Gilombardo.
Here.
Harding.
Here.
Hontrovsky.
Here.
Joseph.
Here.
Masullo. Excused. Morales.
Present.
Perez.
Here.
Plakin.
Here.
Silvers.
Here.
Toledo.
Here.
Tribolsi.
Here.
Williamson. Here. Cormier's present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Sam. Members, a few reminders before we begin. Please silence all electronic devices. And if you wish to make a public comment, please fill out a form and turn it into the sergeant staff. Also, as a reminder for our members and presenters, please ensure that you turn on your microphone when you're ready to speak and off when you are finished. Members, with this being our second committee meeting, I want to remind you again that it is a noteworthy responsibility for our committee to undertake a thorough educational effort to ensure that everyone has the understanding they need to be able to propose, analyze, and most importantly, vote on legally compliant boundaries. Today, we will review some new updates that have been rolled out on our website for accessibility and public input, as well as discuss some of our map drawing applications' advanced functionality and how those tools can assist us in aligning with our current constitutional standards for map drawing. Before we dive into the substance of our meeting, I want to take a moment to address an opinion piece that was published last week. Chair Leek addressed this yesterday in the full redistricting committee. While this piece is truly just the opinion of two professors at UF, it alleges gross inaccuracies and attempts to cast a dark shadow on the work of this committee and the undertaking before us. I don't want any of our members or any of our constituents to question whether this process is being conducted above board. As the Speaker, Chair Leek, and myself have been very clear from the beginning, this process will follow all laws and the Florida Constitution. The first inaccuracy this opinion piece alleges is that we are hiding elections data from public view. This could not be further from the truth. And as you will see today, this elections data is fully accessible within our map drawing application with the intent and the purpose of it being used to conduct a functional analysis. Members, this functional analysis ensures that racial and language minority groups' ability to elect a candidate of their choice is not diminished. And that is required by the Florida Constitution. The article also falsely states that we are shielding data from public records requests. The contract that it references is written so that the legislature maintains the responsibility of responding to and producing public records, not any vendor or contractor. The article also falsely insinuates that the legislature is using geocoding services. There are no geocoding services anywhere within our application. And that technology is specifically not being used in order to protect against favoring or disfavoring any incumbent, a constitutional standard that we must also follow. Members, as we will all come to experience, there are outside entities that will try to impute their own political desires into our process and harm the integrity of our process, and we will not tolerate it. So with that, we'll move into the substance of today's meeting, and I would welcome any questions that members may have at the end of our presentation and agenda today. Members, today we're going to look at some new upgrades to our website, as well as some of ESRI's advanced functionality that will help us align with our constitutional standards. As we have been doing, our goal is to continue educating this committee about the standards that will produce legally compliant maps. With that being said, first up, let's talk about FloridaRedistricting.gov. Members, I'd like to turn it over to Jason, to review the website with us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me exit here out of the slideshow for a minute. We'll go quickly to, so this is the floridaredistricting.com, or I'm sorry, .gov homepage. And you can see here, one of the pages that I want to highlight today for you is the new submitted plans page. As promised, we rolled this out, and now anyone in the public, including all of the members here, can go onto this website and see all of the plans that have been submitted by the public, and eventually all of our committee products or member products, whether they be bills or amendments, will all be posted here in an accessible format for anyone to see. So first, let me just talk about the top of the page. You can see here there are three buttons where you can see, when you click on these, you can see the currently enacted maps of all three. I'll click on the congressional map plan here just to kind of give you a sense of when you click on that. It brings you to this plan details page that shows all the details of that particular plan and then all of the other artifact files that come with it, including all of the data reports and other ability to download the maps and upload them in any other program you want in addition to our own website. But real quick, going down, you can see here you can sort by plan type. So you can look at the type of plans that you're interested in, whether they be Senate, House, or Congressional. You can sort by where they're submitted from, whether it be the courts, the Senate, the public, or the House. That's kind of like where the plan originates from, which chamber it originates from. You can sort by plan name and a number of other items as well to filter down to see the plans you want to see. And as you can see down here, when you come down into the body of the page, you can see all the currently submitted plans that we already have in the system. You can see here there's displays four or five plans per page, and you click on the next page and see all the other ones that are currently available, including the currently enacted plans that are also linked at the top. So real quick, on the first page here, I'm going to click on this first one, which is a congressional map submitted by a member of the public. And you can see here, this has a very similar plan details page that came up when I clicked on the congressional plan. You can see the number of districts, what type of plan it is, where it was submitted from. And then also, in case someone doesn't want to launch the full redistricting application, which can sometimes be a little intimidating for some people, just have the ability to look at the plan in a quick format. We have this web map button here. When you click on that, it brings up, it'll take a second to load, and then bring up something similar to Google Maps or other mapping software or website that people are very familiar with, and you can zoom around and look around. You can see here, this is a congressional map that this gentleman submitted, and you can explore it all you want. You can't draw with this, but it is a good way to explore and view any of the submitted maps that we that come in. So in addition to that, some of the plan files that are here that you can download, including, again, some of the data reports, the compactness report, which I'll get into more later when we talk about the actual software, you can download an actual image of it, but you can also download a KMZ plan or a text file format. The plan file format will open in the Esri redistricting software application that we have there. The text format and KMZ format are GIS mapping formats that can open in other programs. The text format is actually a fixed text file format, or what is sometimes referred to as a block assignment file, which is literally just the census block separated by a comma and then the district that that block belongs to. And here in Florida, we have 390,066 census blocks. So that file is just a list of 390,000-plus census blocks and what district they belong to. That can easily be imported in any other redistricting application and have those districts displayed and used in that program. And similarly, that same text format can be imported into ours. So as I mentioned before, this is the new submitted plans page that is available for anyone. Another page that got some updates after some feedback that we heard last time is the Get Involved page. We've added some things here. The first thing I want to highlight is the Provide Public Input button that we put here. This opens up a form right on the website that people can fill out and submit back to us with their comments with a text box that they can fill in down here. So that is something that we've added to the website. I also want to point out that we've added some assistance here because we heard back because we have some PDFs available on the site. Not everyone is familiar with how to use a PDF or have programs that can open a PDF. In addition to the redistricting map submission form requires a digital signature. Not everyone is familiar with how to put that on a PDF, so we added some assistance here for that in case anyone has questions with that. And in addition, at the bottom of our page, we added a link so people can get a free version of Adobe Reader so they can view any of the PDFs that are available on our site if they don't have that capability currently. In addition to that, some other items that we're working on, we're working with a translation service to have some of those PDFs translated into some other languages, to have it multiple ones available on our website. So we're working on that as well. And thank you, Chair. That's it.
Thank you very much, Jason. Excuse me. The next topic I'd like to discuss today is focused on some of our map drawing applications, advanced drawing tools, and how they can help us analyze the constitutional standards by which we must make our maps compliant. For those of you who are able to join us for Legislator University, consider this your 201 course. And for those of you who are not able to join us and for everyone's benefit, you can watch the recording on myfloridahouse.gov, and the training has also been made available at floridaredistricting.gov. What I'd like to do now is walk through the next several slides so we can discuss the concepts and the related map drawing tools, and then I'll hand the microphone back over to Jason to walk us through an actual demonstration of some of these tools. Members, this slide I encourage you to always pay special attention to. These are the guardrails that will be guiding us moving forward. First off, let's take a moment for a refresher. The Florida Supreme Court has made it clear that Florida's constitutional standards for redistricting have two distinct tiers. Tier one, a whole map or an individual district shall not be drawn with the intent to favor or disfavor a political party or incumbent. Districts shall protect racial and language minority groups' ability to elect candidates of their choice. And districts shall consist of contiguous territory. In Tier 2, districts shall be nearly as equal in population as practicable, be compact, and where feasible, follow existing geographical and political boundaries. And it's important to remember, Tier 1 standards take priority over Tier 2 standards in case of conflict. However, within each tier, the standards are equally weighted amongst one another. As we dive in, there's another important concept to keep in mind, as there is no single correct map. There is no such thing as the best map. As seen even in our standards, all decisions must be weighed among one another with the goal of drawing legally compliant maps. We're going to start with the Tier 2 standards. So first up, let's talk about where feasible existing political and geographical boundaries. Quote unquote, where feasible, using existing political and geographical boundaries. From the Florida Supreme Court ruling in 2012, they delineated that political boundaries primarily encompass county and municipal boundaries, which are our first two bullet points here. The court then went on to state that, quote unquote, geographical boundaries are, quote, easily ascertainable and commonly understood, such as rivers, railways, interstates, and state roads. In the map drawing application, there are two tools that we will walk through that will coincide with the political and geographic boundaries, the reference layer tool and the boundary analysis report. Next up is compactness. Districts shall be compact. In Florida, compactness has been defined by the courts as quote-unquote geographical compactness in relation to the, quote, shape of a district. There is no single official or best compactness test that the court relies on when reviewing redistricting plans. The compactness measures shown on the screen here are the three scores that the Florida Supreme Court supported during the 2012 redistricting cycle: the Riok, convex hull, and Polsby-Popper test. Each test is unique and places priority on a certain characteristic of a district. Therefore, it is best to view them in tandem and in the context of your district, not in isolation. Let's explore these three scores further. I hope everybody took geometry. A REOC score takes the area of a district and finds the smallest minimum bounding circle that fits around the district. Like all three of these scores, the REOC score is rated on a scale of 0 to 1, with values falling closer to 1, indicating a more compact district. Districts that are circular in shape earn a higher REOC score. A convex hull score applies a similar principle, but instead of a circle, it uses a polygon. This measure accounts for indentations in districts that oftentimes a square or a rectangular district will earn a higher convex hull score. The Paulsby-Popper score is a ratio of the area of a district to the area of a circle whose circumference is equal to the perimeter of a district. This score accounts for jagged edges of a district. The more jagged the edges that the district has, the larger the circle, resulting in a lower score. There is also another test which is commonly referred to as the eyeball test. Oftentimes, it's said that the districts that quote unquote look bizarre or oddly shaped may be evidence of a partisan or racial gerrymandering. And while that may be true in some situations, I would encourage this committee to also consider that the state we live in has a very unusual geography itself, which will create difficulty in the formation of these districts. For starters, we're a peninsula surrounded by water on three sides, of which we cannot move. Our counties are often uniquely shaped and may have flags that come off one side of the county, in addition to which very few of them are nice squares like you may see out in the western states. Members, think about our different counties. One example that we discussed in the larger redistricting committee was Volusia County, where it has different, they appear to be fins off of different sides of the county. So that's what I'm referring to by flags. Compactness scores are used for evaluation within the context of that district and as points of reference. The compactness test function in the map drawing application calculates these scores for us for each district. Continuing on our constitutional standards, the Florida Constitution mandates that districts shall be nearly equal in population as practical. In our map drawing application, there are two tools to help you view population figures at various levels of geography. The Identify tool allows you to select units of geography and see how many population is contained within that piece of geography. And the Themes tool enables you to apply a color-coded theme across the entire map, to which you can have color-coded pieces of geography that indicate population levels in a given area. Now let's move on to our Tier 1 standards. Districts shall consist of contiguous territory. When defining district contiguity, the Florida Supreme Court has said a district lacks contiguity when a part is isolated from the rest of the territory of another district, or when the lands mutually touch only at the common corner or right angle. In our map drawing application, our check integrity functionality will evaluate the districts that you've created in your map and identify if any are not contiguous. Moving on, the last two constitutional standards allow me to speak to a new concept I'd like to introduce called functional analysis. Last decade, the court said a functional analysis can be conducted to ensure the standard is met, which states must not deny or diminish a racial or language minority group's ability to elect a candidate of their choice. This functional analysis is conducted by analyzing registered voters, voter turnout, and election results for a given district. Let me be clear, this elections data is not used on the front end to draw districts, but as an analysis tool on the back end to ensure that a district has been drawn based on population that protects the racial or language minority as we are required to do. Using elections data on the front end of the map drawing process could inherently violate other Tier 1 standards listed here that prohibit us from favoring or disfavoring a political party or incumbent. This functional analysis data is being made available as a part of the report's functionality on our map drawing application. And with that, I'd like to ask Jason to walk us through these examples and demonstrate the functionality of our application.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. All right. Okay. So here you can see we are already in the map drawing software. As the chairman mentioned, any member who was not able to join us for the legislator university that we had that walked through some of the basic functions of the website, including how to log in and begin to navigate the map, I encourage you to go watch that. We also have a lot of great tutorial videos on the website that can help you walk through some of that stuff. We'd be happy to answer some questions too, but today we're going to kind of move past that and talk about some of the more advanced functionality within the software that'll help us evaluate these districts and stick to the standards that the chair just walked through very well. So the first functionality that I'm going to walk through is in this sidebar over here, this little button with the arrow. You can click, and it's going to pop out what we call the reference layers. And these reference layers include the currently enacted district lines, primary and secondary roads, railroads, cities, counties, and even hydrology to look at rivers and things like that. So we'll zoom in and demonstrate some of that for you. We'll kind of go into the Tallahassee area. So if I go through here, turn them on, you can see if I turn on the Senate district lines, I'm going to actually turn off the fill there, you'll start to see some lines. You see these green lines just kind of pop up. These are the House districts that just popped in. And then the congressional lines, which you can't see because I have the congressional map open, they're red that kind of display over the other lines. So those are good reference points to use as you're drawing. Another helpful one is called primary and secondary roads, as defined by the U.S. Census Bureau. These are interstates, state roads, county roads, and we can use these on the tool. So as you're drawing your districts, you can try to stick to those lines a little bit more than maybe some other roads where you can. But this is a good tool to help display that. I'm going to switch our base map real quick so make the next one a little bit easier to see. So you can see with the base maps, I just changed real quick, and I'm now in a satellite view. And here, I'm actually going to turn on this light gray canvas, and I'm going to turn on railroads. You can see these orange lines pop up. As you might, you can see them all throughout the state. So these are the railroads that are throughout our state. We can use those to try to find some district lines. Another one that's really interesting is the cities. If I turn these on, this eliminates all 412 incorporated municipalities that we have here in Florida, and you can see if I zoom in here, you can see them all illuminated, and you can see where their boundaries are. And kind of used in tandem with this is our identify tool, which is down here on this tab here. If I identify from our place, I can click on this little identify button here, and I can click on the, say, the city of Tallahassee, and it illuminates entirely, and it shows all this. The statistics for the city of Tallahassee over here on the side. You can see how all the racial breakdowns and everything else, and if I scroll all the way to the bottom, you can see the total population. So you can see that for any of the geography layers that you see here, with the exception of the roads and railways, because they're just lines, you can see the population for all of those things throughout the map as we're drawing. Now, what's really interesting is you can actually use this identify feature as I've identified the entire city of Tallahassee there, if I wanted to, say, assign that to a district, I can select an active district, and I can use this, and I can say assign to, and then the entire territory of district of Tallahassee is now a part of one. I turn on the colors again, you'll be able to see that a little bit more. Maybe a little tough to see here. that is a way to help draw the district there. So moving on, that's kind of a way of how to use the identify tool. And as you can see, as I zoom in, as we showed before, you can see all the way down to the block level. You can zoom out and see all the different types of geography. And that's just a way of helping identify the different layers throughout throughout the map. So the next test that we have in here is the compactness test. This is a button here on the review tab that'll open up a separate pop-up window that'll have all of the compactness tests that the chair talked about before run by district. And this is a separate pop-up window that can be refreshed as you draw, and you can see them and how the scores change as you're drawing districts. So you can see here the REOC test, the convex hull test, and the Polsby-Popper test. So it's doing all the math with all those circles and polygons that everyone kind of panicked about earlier. It's doing all of that behind the scenes. So you don't actually have to see and all that, but here are the ratios. And you can see as you get closer to one, that is a better score, but looking at them in tandem, because they do test different things as far as compactness, is the right way to look at that. And don't look at it in isolation or try to achieve something perfect score for this, because you have to look at it in context of everything else. But that is a great tool to help as you're drawing. And you can actually get that same district compactness report as a PDF or an Excel if you wanted to export that and keep that flagging it in a separate pop-up. Also on the review tab, we have the check integrity button, which will help, although these tests are not required to submit a map, it will help evaluate your map and maybe identify some places in the map as you're drawing to that you might want to change and before you submit or as you're drawing. The last one I'm going to draw your attention to is the connectivity check, which is the test that tests for contiguity. If I click on here, you can see District 1 has two parts because it has the one part that's over here, and then it has the second part, that one little block that I assigned over there before in Tallahassee. So that'll help you figure out that you've accidentally created two separate parts for a district. And it has different tests too. Again, none of them are required, but they will help you evaluate your map as you're drawing it. The next thing I want to highlight is the rest of our reports that you see here. The top one that's called VAP Summary is a very powerful report. It has the voting age population statistics default selected to it, but you can select any of these fields and any of these folders that you see available here. The last of which is the elections data that the chair referred to for our functional analysis. And as you can see here, as I open up these folders, you can see we have elections data. This is the registered voter data for the general election in 2020, 18, going all the way back to 2012. And then we have the voter turnout information available for all of the same elections, and the election results also available for all of the statewide elections throughout those same years. And you can select any fields you want, add them to the report, and export them. If you select PDF, you can only do 10 fields at a time because that limits the width of a piece of paper, basically, for printing purposes. If you want more than that, select Excel and HTML, and you could select the entire list if you wanted and export it for the map that you drew to do the proper functional analysis for whatever data points happen to be necessary for that particular evaluation. So all of that is available to everyone. Next tool I want to show in the reports is in this meets and bounds category at the end. It is a report that we call the boundary analysis, which helps helps quantify the political and geographic boundary and following what boundaries the district is following. As you can see, we have all of these reference layers built into the programs, and we have the program is helping us come up with a ratio of how much of our district is following those particular layers. The report does take a few minutes to load because it is kind of intense, so I've taken the liberty of producing one separately. And you can see here, and then it pops up in the web browser as an HTML, but to make it a little easier to read here, I popped it out in the PDF so you can see. So for every district, it comes up with a percentage. So for city, that's the percentage that the district follows city lines. For county lines, it's the percentage there. For roads, and that's just primary and secondary roads that we referred to earlier in that layer. Here's water, so any rivers or coastlines or lakes that the district lines happen to follow. Here's railways, And then here is the remainder of the district that does not follow any of those particular things. This is another tool like compactness scores. There is no perfect score. Every district has to be looked at individually. There might be a reason why a district doesn't follow some of those particular boundary lines in certain areas, particularly in the context of a congressional map where we have to achieve population equality so closely. So just keep that in mind, that it is a good tool to evaluate a district or its neighboring districts as you're drawing, because sometimes improving the score in one district negatively impacts the districts of all the districts surrounding it. So it is kind of a holistic view as you're looking at everything. So keep that in mind, but this is a very good tool to have to help evaluate our districts as we move forward. And then finally, the last thing I want to show you on the Create tab, there is this Themes button here. If I bring that up, that's going to bring up this little window that'll let you display the statistics that you see down in the bottom data grid down here. So all of the census, racial categories, and total population, and it allows you to color the map with them. It also allows you to turn on labels, so all of the census geographies will have labels of whatever you've selected. So for this particular example, I'm just going to use total population. Have the color areas, and you can see I'm going to turn on the label. So if I click Update, everything will turn on. And if I zoom out to the county level, you can see that what is being displayed is the coloration. So if you're red, you're a smaller county. If you're green, you're a bigger county. And the different ranges there, and you can see the colors throughout the map. If I turn off the district fills, you can see the colors even more, and all the labels associated with them. If I go down here to South Florida, you can see Miami-Dade, Broward County, obviously are big counties, so they're more green. As I zoom in and other geographies begin to display, so we're no longer on counties. Currently, we're on the track level, which is a county subdivision. So you can see certain parts of the county are not very populated, but other ones, I'm going to turn off the cities so you can see all the other ones. Other parts of the counties are more populated. And as I further zoom in, the smaller and smaller pieces of geography start to display. And if I get down far enough, you can start to see the labels pop on for even the tiniest of blocks. So you can see the total population in all of these little tiny blocks. And you can change this from universe to the VAP categories. You can change them to any other the other statistics that are available down on the data grid below. And that's it.
All right. Thank you very much for the presentation. Representative Joseph, did you have a question?
Is it possible to identify language minorities in addition to racial minorities? And if so, like, how do you do that on the map?
So the statistic categories are available below are the ones that come from the United States Census Bureau. So they are single race white, non-Hispanic black, Hispanic black, which is the combination of someone who has selected both, Hispanic not black, all other population. And then due to OMB guidance, the combination of everyone that is selected black or everyone that is selected Hispanic.
So that doesn't quite get to my question. I guess the reason I'm asking is I know this was the first time the census also took into account national origin, which can be used as a proxy for the language minorities, which is one of the legal criteria that we can look at. So are you saying that does not exist in the current program, or I just don't know how to look for it?
I can talk to you further about that offline. So some of the language minority categories are part of the American Community Survey, which is not part of the normal census questionnaire form. So they're not part of the data statistics that we currently have available.
Right, but the national origin is, like, say, for example, if somebody was from Haiti, right, that would be a language minority and national origin that would happen to correlate, and that data supposedly was collected from the census this time. Well, we can talk offline.
Yeah, we can talk offline and talk about that and how the census compiles that data and delivers it in as part of the redistricting data that we get. We can talk about those category breakdowns and some of how they categorize some of those questions and roll them up before they send them into the redistricting data that every state gets.
Perfect. And then follow-up question, Mr. Chair?
You're recognized.
So going back to the other slide where you pulled the report and you showed us that we could pull it either as an HTML or a PDF. Is there a way to extract that data either as a CSV file or Excel spreadsheet or something where you can like play with the data a little bit more.
You're talking about the boundary analysis report?
That, yes. And also, let's say you went ahead and drew a map, right? And then you want to pull the data from that. Are you able to export that? And if so, how?
Yeah, so the boundary analysis report displays as the HTML or PDF, but you could, from the HTML, you could highlight and copy it down all you want.
Okay.
The remaining statistics in the, if you click on the VAP summary report, and if I click on the Excel version of that, and I can click on any of these categories I want, because if you click on Excel, you can literally select as many as you want.
Mm-hmm.
And you can when you click OK, it downloads an Excel file to your computer. You can also email that file to yourself, and that is an Excel that you can manipulate all you want.
Okay. And then from that report, separate from the report, is that the same thing as, okay, let's say somebody drew a map, right? They picked maybe three maps they want to play with. Are you able to download that data in the same way?
I'm sorry if I'm not sure if I completely understood. So you can export the actual districts so you can load them in a different program. That's a different thing than the reports.
Okay.
But any of the data points that are available in the application, you can download as an Excel through the VAP summary report, and you'll get a percentage and the raw total for all the districts that you've drawn. And
so
you can get all of the data points, but you could separately export the KMZ or the text file, which will just have the districts. It won't have the data associated with them because that's just the district boundaries that could then be loaded in any other program. But you could get either one, either through the reports or through the export functions.
Okay, so...
I'm sorry, Representative, you have another question?
Yeah, follow up, Mr. Chair. So just making sure I understand. So forget the reports for a second.
Okay.
Just downloading the data to be exported to a separate program. Can you show me or show us how or where to do that? That's the part I don't think I follow.
Mr. Chair?
If that's okay.
So, sure. So there's two different things we're talking about here. So you're talking about the data that is associated with the districts. You can get that through the VAP summary report in an Excel that you can download.
Okay.
The district boundaries and how they're defined, you can get that through the... the file. You can import XML, a fixed text file format, or a shape file that could then be loaded in their application.
So these would be outlined, but not the underlying data. That would have to come from the report.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative, for the questions. And I would point out, too, that, you know, this is exactly what this process is for right now, are those kinds of questions to build the foundational knowledge that will allow us to move forward. So I appreciate your questions. Representative Toledo for questions.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. Can we overlay the different submitted maps?
Mr. Prado, you're recognized?
Yes, any of the submitted maps that you see on the website, you could download the .plan file and load them into this program. And you could load them in a text format as well. You can import them as that. But those are the two different file types that you can import into our program. But any of the submitted maps, publicly or otherwise, can be opened in our program.
Recognized for a follow-up.
Thank you. Is there a limit on how many we can overlay, or can you open all of them?
I'm sorry, ma'am.
Recognized.
At one time?
That's right. So if we wanted to just look at all the different boundaries and see if there's any trends in like the different submitted maps.
You recognize.
Sure. So there is a function here in the review tab that is a plan comparison function that allows you to compare two different plans at once. So you could compare two different boundaries at one time, but to do more than that, you'd have to load one at a time. But you're able to load as many as you want individually, kind of like opening a Word document or something like that. But it does have a capability to compare two different plans at once.
Other questions? Ranking Member.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Will there be additional Legislator University classes for some of these in-depth questions that our members have in terms of being able to access the functionality a little bit better?
Thank you very much for the question. I think that's an ongoing discussion. you know, I would encourage members to continue to explore the application, to bring questions forward in the committee setting. I think this is the perfect place where we all have the opportunity to learn from each other through good questions. And I think if there's a need, please feel free to discuss it with me, and I'd be happy to address it. Any other questions? Ranking member, did you have any comments before we conclude our session today?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I just wanted to make a few comments. And first, thank you and Chair Leek for commenting on the news article that we all read that raised some serious concerns. Definitely appreciate the response and the openness in which you took to explain all of those pieces to us. We are committed, as I said before, to open access to the public and request again an opportunity for the public to participate, notwithstanding the fact that we have a lot of room in the committee today. As we move forward, I think this is going to be an issue that the public cares deeply about. And so we would request that, using the technology that is available to us, create opportunities for people to participate and potentially access points at libraries or wherever for those who don't have the ability to participate fully because they don't have the equipment or the access. So we want as fair a process as possible. I appreciate all of the openness that you've shown to us, to our members so far. And there are a couple of our members who are concerned about using bill slots, you know, to submit maps. Based on the how technical the map drawing process is, I'm not sure everyone would want to. But to the extent that you can share those concerns with Chair Leek and Speaker Sprouls, that if there's an opportunity at the beginning of session to modify the rules before, you know, that gives us an opportunity to submit maps without using a bill slot, that has been a concern of some of our members. The last thing is that while I completely appreciate that the maps are being submitted already and that there's a public input portal, just want to ensure that that the public information that's being submitted is actually being read and reviewed at the very least by staff, or that we all have an opportunity as individuals to go in there and look at it on our own pace. But just wanting to make sure that staff who are very engaged and involved in this process are also looking at what the public is putting on the website and wishing to be seen. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Mr. Chair.
And thank you, Ranking Member. A couple of comments, if I may. First of all, I think it's important for members to know, you know, you and I are speaking, and I value your friendship and what you have to add, your perspective to this process. I was excited when I learned of your appointment as Ranking Member to have the opportunity to work with you in this capacity. As far as public input goes, you know, I can assure members that those conversations are continuing. And I think one of the things that we have the benefit from is a environment with our technology where people can reach us and can make that available to us. This website is phenomenal. You know, I think we can all agree that the resource that it offers to the residents of our state and to this legislature is going to be something that I think we can all be very proud of moving forward. On the subject of bill slots, and I know that that's a conversation that Representative Geller, Ranking Member Geller on the Large Redistricting Committee has as a priority as well. What I will remind members is a couple of things. First of all, for us to go back for us to change the rules in order to do something with the number of available bill slots, we would have to do that during session. And I would remind members that we also recently had the number of our available bill slots increased to 7. So keep that in mind. The other thing that you should keep in mind is that there is an unlimited number of amendments that you can offer as this process moves forward. So I would use that as a tool in your thinking as you're contemplating maps, as you're reviewing different ideas and options, use that amendatory process available to you by this committee. The other thing that I would like to just comment on very briefly is review of Mesa Midland Public. And I tell you, staff, taking a look at this perspective and encouragement of all committee members to take a look at the maps that our fellow Floridians are submitting through our portal. Because there's something, if somebody's taken the time to do that and create a submission to send in the legislature, you should take a look at it. But also, how cool is it to see our fellow citizens taking advantage of these resources that we've put at their fingertips? So I would encourage you to take the time to do that. I most certainly will share your concerns and look forward to continuing to work with you throughout this process. We'll now move into public comments. Are there any members of the public that would like to? We have no speaker cards. Are there any members of the public that would like to share some thoughts with us this afternoon? Ma'am, you sure? You look like you've got something to say. Members, I know that this is a lot of information to take in, and I've said before, and I'll say it again, redistricting is not an easy task. Understanding the foundational concepts that underlie the maps that we'll be voting on is a critical initial step. I appreciate the seriousness and the good questions and the dedication that you bring to this committee. Hearing no further public comments, Representative Joseph. Yes. You're recognized.
Awesome. Thank you, Mr. Chair. The only question I have is, because I don't sit on the larger redistricting committee, other than the website, is there another mechanism contemplated for public participation?
Thank you for the question. You know, we have the website that's available. We're looking at other options in terms of public input. We certainly have different means of technology available to us. We have the public input process that is here available during our committee schedule. I know that Representative Geller and Chair Leak discussed in the big committee yesterday some different options in terms of public input. I know those discussions are ongoing, so I hope to have some more information to be able to provide you at our next committee meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you for the question. Members, any other comments, questions? Vice Chair? All right. Thank you very much. Representative Toledo moves we adjourn.
Second.